Right, well, hello and good morning. New year, new Beltwide. But what better way to start a year than an economics conference, right? For those of you who don't know me, my name is John Devine. I'm an economist with Cotton Incorporated. I focus primarily on the demand side of the market. That's made me so much of an outlier here at the Beltwide production conferences, but I certainly appreciate the Ag Econ production folks for putting up with me the past couple of years. Certainly a kind and generous group, and I appreciate them inviting me up here today. Of course, I'm here today to talk about the demand end of the cotton market, and with that, we can start by taking a look at a chart of cotton demand. Here, this is a demand chart showing global mill use, but I think a thing that we need to point out when we take a look at mill use, we're really talking about end use. You add a little lag on there, whatever our cotton mills are spinning in terms of fiber going into yarn, they're doing that for a reason. You take a look at what goes on in terms of global end use or global consumer or final demand. The proportions in relative terms of hard data really aren't available, but we can take a look at figures related to U.S. or at the country level. When we do that, we can see that about 75% of the fiber consumed by consumers in the U.S. goes to apparel, about 20% goes to home textiles, and about 5% probably goes to nonwovens. So for that reason, we'll spend a little bit more time today in terms of our discussion taking a look at what goes on in the apparel market, because it does represent the lion's share of what goes on in terms of cotton demand. So take a look at this chart. We've got the past 10 years or so up here. Things looking pretty positive for us. Over the past 7 years, we have had 7 years of growth, and that's great. But if you take a slightly longer-term view, you take a look at where we are in the current crop year, we're still down about 4 or 5 million bales, or down about 3 or 4%. Compared to where we were about 10 years ago. So things are moving in the right direction, but they still could be a little bit better. And of course, the price spike that we experienced in 2010, 2011 was a major reason for that. But before we beat up ourselves too much, I think it's important to take a longer-term view. And if you take a longer-term view, similar to what Gerald did, and compare that to the trend, you can see with this year's stair-step increase and global mill use, we're expected to be right back on trend. And that's great, because the past couple years we have been below trend. Once again, major reason why we have been below trend are consequences from that price spike. That price spike had some negative influences for us, particularly when you take a look at what's gone on in terms of cotton's market share relative to other fibers. But something else I want to point out here when you take a look at the trend is that if we rewind the clock and go back 10 years ago, you can also see that we experienced several years of above-average growth. Now, this above-average growth was due in large part to some of the increases in investment that we had in China. China joined the WTO back in 2001. As China became the world's factory for apparel, we saw a lot of investment in Chinese spinning. Now, over the past couple years, there's been a lot of comments related to concerns about overinvestment in Chinese polyester capacity. But if we go back 10 years ago, when we were above trend, there'd be a lot of folks here talking about how there was overinvestment in Chinese cotton spinning capacity. That overinvestment was wiped out by a combination of the recession and also the price spike, also factors leading us to this below trend growth we've seen in recent years. So things are getting better. A couple reasons why things are looking better we'll get into a little bit later. But just to go back to this and consider this trend line as a regression line, somewhat similar to what Gerald did too, we can get a really good explanation in terms of global mill use from time alone. Time alone has an R-squared of about 95%. Time alone indicates we should have about 1.5 million bales of additional consumption every single year. But of course, it's not time that's causing that increase in consumption. There are a couple key factors. Really can boil them down to just a few. I've just got three I'm going to pitch at you. I think number one on that list is what's going on with the global economy. Take a look at the global economy. There's a couple reasons to be positive right now. You take a look at forecasts for global economic growth, similar to the USDA does with their supply-demand forecasts each month. Our major global economic forecasting groups like the IMF, they revise their forecasts every 3 to 6 months. Those forecasts are now moving higher after consistently moving lower after the recession. So we are seeing a change there, things ticking up instead of ticking lower as they have been for much the past recent years. Higher aggregate demand means higher demand for clothing, means higher demand for cotton fiber. Another added on point there, all the world's major economies expected to grow in sync. This is the first time that's happening since 2007. It's relevant for us. When you have increased orders being placed in one country, it means increased demand in other countries. So we're having a virtuous cycle starting to potentially develop here, which once again be positive for demand in aggregate, positive for demand for apparel, positive demand for cotton. If we take a look at economic growth, there are, of course, some complicated reasons for why that occurs. One of them is not so complicated, and that's just that we have more people. People are still having babies. There's additional population. That population growth means more consumers for all types of products. That helps lift the global economy. So population growth is a factor contributing to cotton consumption growth over the long term. Then finally, something that's been really relevant to us over the past couple years is what cotton's doing relative to other fibers. Cotton has been at a disadvantage for polyester since the price spike. Things are getting a little bit better, although we still got some challenges in China. But essentially, all these factors are now starting to point more positive for cotton consumption growth this year and also down the line. So we can take a look at these general factors. They hold true at the world level. They also hold true at the country level. Here, just shifting our focus to the U.S. The U.S. represents only about 4% of the world's population, but the U.S. represents about 20% of global cotton end-use consumption. So U.S. very important in terms of our consumption at the consumer level. Similar to the world, we're seeing GDP forecasts in the U.S. being revised higher. Virtually all economic data being released in the U.S. right now is positive. Labor market's doing great. Unemployment is at its lowest level in 17 years. Consumer confidence is at its highest in 17 years. Consumer spending growth has been solid. Spending over the holiday sales period is up about a percentage point or two relative to last year, which is also a decent year. So consumer spending is looking pretty good. A lot of things looking good relative to U.S. economic data. I'd say the one weak point for us right now is wage growth. You take a look at wage growth relative to inflation growth, that premium has been getting eroded a little bit. So some of the strength we've seen in spending may start to erode in the next year or two if we don't see wages start to pick up. In the U.S., we are seeing population growth starting to slow. Immigration helps with that, not only because immigrants add to the economy, but immigrants tend to have more children. Something else that's a negative for us relative to population two is our population is getting older. That baby boomer bulge in our age distribution is shifting into the retirement years. In retirement years, people tend to spend less, in particular tend to spend less on clothing. So that's a potential negative for us. You take a look at where our retailers source their apparel from. It's from the global market. In the global market, they're facing global cotton prices. Global cotton prices looking potentially a little bit better versus polyester. But I want to shift our focus more towards the retail side here right now. One important point in the U.S. is that the apparel sector as a category is facing some competition from other categories. Talked about wage growth being a little bit sluggish, but if you take a look at what's going on the cost side, we've had very strong increases in costs for health-related services over the past couple years. Wage growth around 2.5%. Health costs increasing 10%+ over the past decade. That means less discretionary income for categories like apparel. Also, educational costs been increasing at very strong rates. Whether you're saving for your kids' education or paying down your student loans, it means less potential money you have to spend on apparel. And then finally, you take a look at what's going on in terms of innovations. In the apparel market, a shirt is essentially still a shirt. Pants are essentially still pants. But you take a look at what's going on with your phone, it's a lot different than it was 10 years ago. It's a little bit more excitement in other categories such as electronics. Another factor affecting U.S. retail markets is that we're facing some significant evolution in terms of where and how consumers have been buying their clothing in recent years. And here we can take a little bit closer look at that. So you may have been hearing that retail is dead. Brick and mortar stores, of course, facing very, very strong challenges from online markets. And a lot of that's been focused on where clothing is traditionally bought. But these slides, which were supported by our market research group in my department at Cotton Incorporated, they like to emphasize that things aren't all negative. Net, we're still seeing more stores open in the U.S. than are closing. A lot of stores opening in terms of restaurants, going out type places, bars, food places. You take a look at some generational shifts in the U.S. We talk about baby boomers getting older. You may have heard some discussion about millennials. These are younger generations. They like to trade experiences for things. And experiences include things like going out. So we're seeing increased spending on categories like going out to restaurants and bars. We are seeing some investment in mass merchants, superstores. These types of stores sell a lot of clothes, so some potential lift for us there. Seeing some investment in convenience stores, food stores, drug stores. But a big story for us is the closures that we've seen in department stores and clothing stores. So we've probably had some overinvestment in retail space over the past several years. A lot of that focused on clothing retailers, a lot of clothing stores, shuttering operations. Here you can take a little bit closer look at stores that have been closing. You can take a look at the gray side. This is our major companies that have announced significant store closures over the past year or two. You take a look at these companies, you see Sears, The Limited, JCPenney, Macy's, Gap, Chico's. These are all companies that have moved a lot of apparel, moved a lot of cotton product over the past couple of years. Since these guys aren't making money, they're probably a little more conservative with their order placement, which can mean less demand trickling down to mill use and even at the fiber level. There are stores that are opening. Once again, our market research folks want to emphasize that net-net, things are still positive. You take a look at some of these stores that are opening, TJX, that represents TJ Maxx, and also Marshall's. They've been opening more stores. But you take a look at the types of stores that are opening, you'll see a trend there too. TJ Maxx is a value retailer. You take a look at Dollar General, Dollar Tree. These are also value retailers. Even though the U.S. macroeconomy is doing good, you can probably see some distributional issues surfacing here with broad focus on the bottom end, lower income folks, potentially having to shop at lower income stores. And that's why we're seeing more lower income stores opening. Once again, things aren't so bad. There are still some more stores opening than closing. Take a look at more what's going on in terms of channel. So this, when we talk about channel, we're talking about locations where consumers typically buy their clothing. Our market research people, they do regular surveys of consumers in the U.S. We have things broken out by general age buckets here, over 35, less than 35. We do see some differences there, but we also see some similarities. You see, consumers report they tend to buy most of their clothing at freestanding stores. So these essentially would be your islands in the middle of parking lots, be places like your Kohl's, your Walmart that are standalone locations. And this is where most people tend to buy their clothes. People still buy a lot of clothes at malls. When they ask the question, when you go to the mall, why do you typically go to the mall? Two-thirds of respondents indicate they go to the mall to buy either clothes or shoes. So clothing still heavily associated with malls. Online spending, of course, we've seen some very, very strong growth there over the past couple years. Growth in online spending has been double digits for at least the past 5 years. We do see some generational differences there. Our younger folks tending to spend more on online than our older folks. And then take a look at our strip mall. It's not a primary location for spending on clothing. So online, it has been growing. Probably can expect it to continue to grow. But don't forget about our traditional brick-and-mortar stores. They're still doing all right. We take a look at holiday spending as an indicator of a trend. Holiday spending for brick-and-mortar stores also is pretty solid this year, in addition to very strong growth we've seen on the online side. So what does this mean for cotton? So take a look at the U.S. In the U.S., we essentially import all the apparel that's sold. So we can take a look at data relating to U.S. apparel imports and use that as a really strong proxy for what's going on in terms of U.S. consumer demand. You take a look at the bale equivalents of cotton-containing apparel coming into the U.S., we can see some factors related to the evolution of retail probably being an issue here. If our retailers aren't making a lot of money, they're probably not going to be wanting to spend a lot of money. So that's probably something making them more cautious in terms of the amount of orders that they're placing. You take a look at U.S. imports for 2016. We're still a month or two from having our annual data for 2017, but our monthly data indicator thinks it'll still be about flat to down for overall for cotton imports. We're down about 25% compared to where we were at peak in 2006-2007. So we've got a lot of ground to make up on the cotton side in terms of what's going on in terms of U.S. consumption. A lot of that you could probably attribute to some of the decreases that we've seen in cotton share. But I wanted to highlight some other data here. This is for apparel imports, not just of cotton, but of all fibers. This is cotton plus polyester, plus rayon, plus nylon, plus anything. And when you take a look at overall bale equivalents coming into the U.S., we're down about 5% compared to where we were at our peak in 2006-2007. So cotton's been suffering, but the overall apparel market's been suffering. Some of that can be related to the retail evolution. Some of that can be related to some possible other factors. One of those you might think may be weakness in the overall spending environment for cotton or for apparel as a category. But if you take a look at spending for apparel over the past 10 years, we've seen growth of about 2% per year, about 20% compared to where we were back in 2006-2007. So there may be some macroeconomic effects here, but we can't blame the economy. We can't blame completely spending on apparel. So what's going on? We've got this big 25% gap we've got to explain. Overall apparel imports down in terms of bales, 5% relative to their peak. Spending's up 20%. what may be happening there. I know there's a lot of economists in the room, so if you are paying attention, you'll see bales are units, spending's dollars. Maybe there's a change in price per unit. But if you take a look at changes in retail prices, they've increased only 2% relative to where they were several years ago. And it's very weak increases in prices, maybe a reason why we're seeing a lot of these retailers closing stores. But from this perspective of this exercise of trying to explain that gap, retail prices don't get us anywhere. So something we've done at Cotton Incorporated over the past several years is develop a database to take a look at textile and apparel imports more closely. Essentially anything that's imported in textile form, we've got it. The attributes we can talk about are weight, unit count, and also value. Using those attributes, we can drive some additional variables such as price per unit. But something else we can look at is average weight per unit. When we take a look at average weight per unit, we've seen some very important decreases over the past couple years. Regardless of the product category, we've seen decreases of about 10 to 15%. This is true for products made of cotton, also true for products made of man-made fibers. A couple reasons for that. One is costs. Since there hasn't been a great macroeconomic environment, one way retailers can cut costs is by putting less fiber in their garments. We also see some fashion issues hitting in here. Athleisure has led to lighter, cooler garments. Lighter, cooler garments means less fiber. Also some other changes related to fashion. Just considering jeans, we've gone from baggy, wide leg jeans to skinny jeans. When you have skinny jeans, it means less fabric, less fiber as well. We take a look at these percentage changes. These are just for in-category shifts. So if you're going jeans to jeans, we're seeing jeans getting 12% lighter on average. But if you consider there being also cross-category shifts, so moving from jeans to yoga pants, the decreases are even bigger. So if you take a look at total decreases, we're seeing decrease in average product weight on the level of about 15 to 20%. And that adds up to a lot of fiber. Take a look at the effects of changes in average product weight relative to the effects from changes in cotton share. The changes from average product weights have been more significant. So something else for us to pay attention to. We've been able to pay attention to this in the U.S. We also have databases for other markets, other big key developed markets, which are import markets for apparel, including Europe and Japan, have also seen very significant declines in average product weights. They started their decreases a couple years from earlier than us, so they began really in 2004, 2005. But if you take a look at the size of the decrease there, they're also down about 15 percentage points. So lighter garments, meaning less fiber demand. Take a look at what's going on in terms of fiber demand for these other markets. Japan, in terms of overall fiber consumption, they're down about 3% relative to the way they were 10 years ago. You can see cotton share taking a big chunk out of their cotton demand in terms of their apparel imports. Europe, overall, they're positive. A couple reasons for that. One is when you think about Europe or the EU, traditionally you think about France, Spain, Italy, some more stagnant economies over there. But the EU also includes Eastern Bloc countries where we do have developed markets becoming developing markets, and some of that stronger economic growth there is contributing some of the stronger growth we've seen in their fiber demand coming from apparel. True not only for overall apparel imports, but also even true for cotton, so that's great. Take a look at forecasts for the next decade and a half. You can see we're expected to have some decent growth both from the U.S. and Europe. Japan expected to have a decline. That's due to the fact that Japan's population is getting very old very fast. They should have over one-third of their population over the age of 60, 65 by the time we get to 2030. If we take a look at the global growth expected by 2030, things are expected to be pretty good. So global economic growth in dollar terms is expected to be up 50% in terms of apparel spending. Since our traditional developed markets aren't going to be doing that, a lot of the heavy lifting is going to be coming from our emerging markets. So you take a look at China, Chinese forecast spending expected to be more than much stronger than what we're seeing both in the U.S. or any of our developed markets. Chinese overall apparel market expected to be worth about 50% more than Europe by the time we get to 2030. India expected to have the strongest percentage growth, but India, in terms of consumer incomes, they've got a long ways to go in terms of catching up not only with developed markets but even with China. So they're probably going to have even growth further out down the line. Once we get to 2040, 2050, we'll see India become an increasingly important player. Just very quickly, because I have a lot of time left, to go through some factors affecting Chinese end use. Chinese economic growth, the GDP terms, are expected to be flat, but expected nonetheless to be strong. Their growth rate's around 5-6%, while growth rates here in the U.S. probably going to be around 2-3%. Population issues probably going to start affecting Chinese demand. Their growth rate in terms of population is slowing. Their population also aging. Their one-child policy leading to a higher proportion of their population being older. And when you take a look at expectations for Chinese population levels, they're actually expected to start depopulating by the time we get to 2030. But there's still some good news there. There's incomes in China are rising rapidly, retail apparel spending consistently increasing 10-15% year over year for the past several years. We expect that to continue. Other good news, China is starting to shift its economic growth from one based on investment more towards one based on consumption, meaning more consumer spending. And that transformation really is just starting now. So China has started running, but they've got a long ways to go in terms of the strength of the growth that we can expect from that market. Take a look at India. As opposed to China, we're expected GDP forecasts in India to accelerate. They're expected to move from levels around 6% growth now up to around 8% growth in out years. Some factors supporting the economic growth in India versus China. They have a young and growing population, and India is actually expected to surpass China in terms of absolute population just 6 or 7 years down the road. Other things in India that can be expected to support apparel consumption, particularly cotton consumption, is that we're seeing a shift more towards Western styles that can benefit cotton. See more jeans being purchased that can help us out. Also, India has a very strong positive history with cotton, particularly the Indian flag. That circle in the middle was a cotton spinning wheel a couple years ago. They changed it to a religious symbol more recently. But cotton has a very positive association in terms of India's cultural identity. Maybe a lever we can pull in terms of marketing cotton versus other fibers in India down the line. One last point I want to make relative to levers for consumption growth. Take a look at what's going on in terms of sustainability. So here we've got some market research that Cotton Incorporated has done alongside CCI. They've taken a look at where concerns are for sustainability among different countries around the world. You can see less concern here in the U.S. and the U.K., but something that's very interesting is that we see increased concern in developing markets. So you may consider environmental concern being somewhat of a luxury good, but if you take a look at what this is showing us not really. One of the reasons why it may be more important out there in India and China could be the fact that it hits them in the face every day. So if you visited Asia, the air pollution hits you immediately. So if you're in China, you're in India, you have to think about the fact, are you going to put on a face mask today or not? Not only for yourself, but you have to think about, are you going to put a face mask on your kid? Do you want your kid believing in all that air pollution or not? So environmental issues, more important developing markets, could be a lever for cotton to pull with a positive environmental story that cotton has to tell relative to polyester in these markets down the line. So summary conclusion, long-term positive outlook regarding both economic situation, short-term outlook also looking more positive with things starting to look more look better over time. Population, that's feeding into the macroeconomic outlook. In terms of consumer demand, fiber prices looking better relative to polyester. Volatility has been lower in recent years. And sustainability lever may be something we can pull down the line as well. So with that, that's what I got. I'm sorry I made a little bit over time. But thank you.
Thank you.